Hey, welcome to another episode of Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm your host, Rod, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are live-ish, okay? We are alive. We are broadcasting through the internet. And as always, we have the now number one recurring guest on our podcast.
Number one. Breaking personal records.
In a place all of by itself, it is Keith Malley. What's up, Keith?
Hello, folks. Thank you. I knew if I wrote it out long enough, I'd be the kid.
That's what they say. Consistency, dedication, that's persistence. Right. You got all of them.
Thank you.
That's what the champions have. That's how Tom Brady did it. That's how you don't beat the kid.
Yeah, that's how you the GOAT.
I kept, throughout the years, I kept sending him the self-help books. But finally, we're here.
Well, listen, this is a show all about another show. All right. Mm-hmm. A show called Keith and the Girl.
Yes.
Last week, there were three episodes. There was a Q&A. I also listened to a bonus podcast, Great Hang, Catfish and Your Dad with Keith Malley, with Tim and Micah. We'll get into some of that.
All right.
But we can't start without first saying, of course, the sponsor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Today's episode is brought to you by the brand new dating app, Unhinged.
Oh, no.
Are you tired of going on dates and just waiting for the other shoe to drop? Like, what is going on? Is this person going to do something wild and crazy? Are you one of the other fish in the sea? Do you love hard, real hard? Well, sign up for the newest dating app, Unhinged. It's like Hinge, but for crazy people. We sorted through everybody. And it's just the crazies, okay? So if you need passionate love, you need a little bit of spontaneity in your life, you need some criminal records or whatever, we got you over at Unhinged. Just go to unhinged.com or stop by like your local Subway and just holler at the people that's hanging out there, because that's what we do over here at Unhinged.
The other members don't ask a lot of questions. It's like, where do you live? Just kidding. I know.
Yeah. I'll see you when you get home.
Honey, you're in it for love, you said. I love you.
Do you want kids? Because I like kids, too.
Let's get some.
Oh, no, a little too much.
I got us a kid.
I'll meet you at the park.
Of course, the other thing we do here weekly, Minimum Rage.
Yes.
As always, more articles than we can shake a stick at.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Perhaps you saw this, the sign in a Popeyes that says, watch your mouth, we're allowed to fight at this location. Is that real?
The fact that I don't know.
Right.
I saw the same thing you saw. Yeah. And I can't for certainty say that's a joke. I think that says everything about this segment.
Yes. It might be down now, but at some period of time, it was up.
I would not be shocked if I walked into Popeyes and saw that sign. I'd be like, of course.
Yeah, this makes sense. They're tired of people coming here acting the fool. They will let you know that you can get these hands in the stoopies.
Yeah. This America runs from Dunkin' all over again.
Yeah, we can fight at this location, so think before you speak. But everything's spelled properly, and it's in a nice, sincere font, if that makes sense. You know, it's not Comic Sans. It's not Wingdings. They're serious. That's what makes me wonder.
One of my favorite t-shirts that I own is it's a Popeyes logo, but it's that underneath it says Popeyes chicken and violence.
Well, it does. And also, like, I feel like I saw a couple Popeyes fights recently, and I think the memes are going around like who would win Popeyes against Waffle House. And so that's why I'm thinking this isn't real, but how great it would be.
Yeah, and honestly, I wish we could have a fast food royale, you know, battle royale between all the employees, because I do feel like Popeyes and Waffle House are probably near the top. They're the number one seeds of the bracket.
Yes, they are. Yes,
how about like boxing with gloves and stuff?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Just to know.
Have you ever seen the viral video? I'll have to send it to you if you haven't. There's a viral video of this dude doing like the how you get hired at Popeyes the introductory interview.
Right.
And it's like he's wearing a hat sideways. He's like his shirt's like three buttons up top, not buttons, right. Ruffled, and smoking a cigarette and all this stuff. And he's just like, all right, so you got the job. All right, now first thing we're going to do, we're going to take you out back. We're going to pap you out, meaning the fight.
Right.
You know, we got my man back here on the grill. He going to pap you out real quick back, and we're going to see if you working the day shift or the night shift. You know, if you got hands, then we can work night shift. Right. But if you don't, we're going to have to start you on day. It's like, it's so funny. I was like, I believe this.
I couldn't even imagine. The video game would be great. It would be one of them where you could, like, tag team you and your partner. So one person being there fighting and getting beat up, and they would tag their partner, and their partner would just come in with grease, but like, oh no, he bought the chicken grease.
Oh, if there was like a fast food, like Street Fighter.
Yes.
I'd watch.
I would be here for it. I'd buy that. Yes.
And grease. They just throw grease on
yes.
you.
He bought the two piece. He just opened up a two piece of biscuits.
instead of get over here, it's fuck out of here.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Oh shit. So jail. Meaning that this crime happened and this woman has been sentenced.
Okay.
Jail for rugby woman. Rugby is the location, not, I guess, what she does for a living. But
who knows?
How could we say?
It could be a professional rugby player. I don't know. They get violent, too.
Jail for rugby woman who attacked two fast food restaurant staff and four police officers.
Oh.
Oh, had the time and the energy, apparently.
If you got time to beat up two police officers... You got time to clean.
Apparently you do.
A rugby woman who attacked the two fast food, who attacked two fast food restaurant workers and four police officers Jesus. Has been jailed for, I'll let you guess, Karen, how long?
How long been jailed for?
How long do you think her sentence is?
6 months.
Karen says 6 months. All right, Keith.
Well, they need food in lacrosse, so they do need the workers. But what town was this? Football town? I forgot.
Rugby.
Rugby town.
It was rugby. Yeah.
Okay. 2 weeks home sentence.
Well, Karen, you were the closest without going over it. You said 6 months, which I believe is what, 6 times 4, 24 weeks or something?
Mm-hmm.
32 weeks. So 8 months, okay. It sounds like.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad for four cops, never mind two employees.
Right?
I'm honestly more shocked that she didn't get more time for the cops. Right. I feel like if she only hit the employees, then it's closer to what Keith said, and it's just 2 weeks.
Yeah, I upped it because I was like, well, she got some officers, so they're going to add a few extra weeks for that.
They're like time served if you only hit the employees.
But it's kind of embarrassing to say, you know, some kid, I'm guessing, what was their age? And
she is actually 32 years old.
32 years old. A female started punching four cops.
Four officers.
When you get to the number fourth one, it's a little embarrassing.
Yeah. Fourth guy's got to be bragging, though.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I had to come clean that shit up. I walk in, these three bitches is getting beat up by this lady. She got Popeye's guy in a headlock. I'm like, all right.
Did she hit you, too? Well, not like hit, but...
Nah, I mean, like...
Come on, man. I mean, I ain't want to beat up a woman.
I ate that shit, man.
I had a black eye.
She was sentenced to 2 charges of common assault, one charge of criminal damage, and additional 4 charges of common assault against a police officer at Coventry Magistrates Court on Saturday.
I'm sorry.
Oh, this happened overseas.
It's called common assault?
Common assault.
Yeah, you go into a fast food place, it's common, you're going to get assaulted. Yeah.
Okay, that's why the language was kind of off, because I kept saying this... Don't sound like this happened in America.
Right. I just realized it when I looked at the website, and it sounds like it's from Lord of the Rings. It's called Warwickshire World.
Okay. Which I'm well, they would have rugby. Star. They would have a rugby town.
Yeah, yes. Maybe that. Yeah. At Coventry Magistrates Court on Saturday, she also was ordered to pay a compensation of £2,000. Oh, no, £200.
Okay.
And I'm going to put the link in the chat just so you guys can scroll to the bottom and see her picture because I think her picture is a pretty amazing picture that looks like she could have taken like 3 more cops out.
That sounds like about $300, right?
Yeah, sounds I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
It's like you were pretty, but your eyes say you had a hard life, and yeah, you can smack some people down.
She bought that life.
Yeah.
She bought,
yeah.
And that was a fight. Like, she got some bruises on her because it wasn't like they were like, ma'am, please calm down, and she was beating them up. No, they were swinging back, and she was like, nah, just four of you?
There's a crumpled bandage on her chin. Like, you know, it wasn't placed right. And the top is a huge gash that's open.
Yeah. Oh, man. We hate to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
We love to talk about it, but we hate to see it.
Love to cover it. Hate to see it. All right. Let's get into these episodes. Episode 3798, season 2.
Okay.
With Bianca Brady and Catherine Lavery.
Yes.
Was anyone an asshole?
Catherine was a little rough on me with her, yes, you wanted space in Texas, but you don't got to make fun of, in New York City, you got to put signs on your door saying you're recording. Other than that, though, no, I'm very glad it worked out that both of them can make it. And, yeah. And I don't know where I mentioned this, but maybe it was with, I don't know where I mentioned it. But still, when I said, hey guys, I think you're going to like a couple new guests I have planned. It was Bianca, it was Catherine, and later Mallory Jane. That was it. That's as far as I got. But I'm like, people are going to like these ones.
And you're like, listen, great. Let's wing it. Let's wing it and see how it goes.
Yes.
Well, I thought they were great as well.
Me too.
I thought Kat is such a go-getter.
Yeah.
That it really is, and I don't mean this as an insult, but it really is like a how are they together situation. Because she is so like, it's almost intense the way she's like in business and this movie.
I think I trick go-getters, and it's not deliberate, I promise. But I mean, what's more attractive than A, you happen to be attractive, and B, you're a fucking go-getter?
Yeah. And then you don't have, and then they never have to feel like they're in competition. It's never toxic.
I'm not here to compete against you, baby. We're a team.
You got it.
Nah, you're the breadwinner. Whatever. I have no ego about this.
You know what? I mentioned in that show that I remember a time where, specifically like a picture, where Catherine was putting together a tough IKEA furniture, and I'm putting on a bed skirt on the bed. I wasn't even I was ironing the bed skirt. That's what I remember.
You're like, no need to be in the way.
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I think
I probably needed her help to lift the bed mattress. Yeah.
Right. When you're done putting together the desk, can you help me with the sheets?
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. That's how it is. Me and it's a running joke. We got like a shoe rack. And so one day I like put up the shoe rack and like Roger Cook. So I made a running joke about that. And people took it serious. Like, no, guys. We're just kidding here. But I had a great time putting that shoe rack together because I was determined to put that thing together. And it was confusing because they give bad instructions with IKEA and all that shit. A1 screws with B2. Here's a picture. You might not have all the parts.
Yeah, yep. I try to impress somebody. I go like, hey, I got a TaskRabbit to make an extra nightstand for us. Like, they're like, well, you did what? I'm like, ah, right. Shit. I mean, I put together a nightstand. So that shit.
I won't fix your car, but I'll fix your audio. All right? You got some issues with your podcast, girl?
Right.
Hey, holler at your boy.
Thank you.
So the Sadia episode, I feel like, has been controversial ever since it happened on the forum.
It seems
it was brought up here. I can't believe. Am I broken? Am I broken? Because it's not controversial to me. Honestly, harmless. It's harmless. She's over there. She's crazy. Everyone knows she's crazy. And then it's just, that's the end of it. What's the problem?
I'm punching waves. I'm keeping the water choppy, separating us. She can't swim so good, I heard. Yeah, I don't know. You what? Like, all these things keep coming. Here, listen to her. See what's happening. Maybe it goes somewhere. Maybe it doesn't. I think Craig really thought it might go somewhere. Mm. I was like, who gives a shit? I was surprised she showed up. But okay.
Me too.
But it is funny. Is this the new Keith and the Girl where he talks to a psychopathic fan every day? Yeah, that's the new show. Well, I don't think you should do it anymore. How do you think I would after the way that ended? How do you think I would do that?
And like, by the way,
like somebody just, it's exciting when somebody on the forums makes the first post ever. Like, what did they happen to respond to? And it was this, and they were saying why it was icky to them. And it's like, okay, but obviously this show is making a dent in some way.
Right.
So what?
Right.
I would do it all over again. Now, Sadia, don't get confused. I'm not going to do it again. But I would do it all over again.
Also, she kind of talked about how she hears stuff behind the paywall. So, hey, Sadia, you know, appreciate you listening.
We know you here. I think Roger did a show like that one time with a dude from Gamergate, and that dude was insane.
Oh, okay. So what Karen's talking about is during the peak of Gamergate when it started.
People were rough on the female game talkers,
journalists and stuff. And I spoke about it on the show how I thought it was like they were just being assholes and Gamergate was full of shit. And some guy was on Twitter going in my mentions over and over like, no, dude, you don't understand. It's the ethics in gaming journalism. There are black people over here. I'm one of them and all this stuff. And I was like, Dante Nero was over with the Proud Boys. It didn't make the Proud Boys not racist. They just wait till Dante leaves and they're like, all right, so we can say it. So I said that and the guy's so intense. I'm like, fuck it, get on Skype right now. And then we did an episode of just me and him where I just yelled at him for like an hour.
I hope you're just not going to talk to racists all the time.
Right. No one said that. No one. Maybe it's because she's a woman. I don't know. But anyway, I might be broken.
Yeah, I think so. I think for some reason people have this kind of protection like over women. It was like when they hear Keith talking to her or this group of guys talking to her, they're not really looking at the situation in its totality. They're just looking at it as quote unquote, she's the victim. Well, it's like, no, she's not the victim here, y'all. Right.
Where it literally wouldn't matter what she said at that
point. Correct.
Right. There's also, I agree with that. I see that. I also think people just don't like life's hard enough for everybody individually. Mm-hmm. And most people wouldn't even know how to explain it to a friend to talk it out. So on top of that, can we not pretend, this is what they're thinking, I think, can they ignore other bonus shit like a crazy fucking fan of Keith and the Girls and be like, yeah, this was a lot. Maybe because what really happens is maybe everybody's right. Maybe like it's okay. Right.
Yeah, like they don't want to quote unquote pick sides.
People are so afraid of conflict.
They pretend it never happened or didn't have to happen. She did it, so this has to happen.
And that's why motherfuckers keep getting over on people. Because everyone's doing the same. Like if you don't look them in the eyes on the subway, and now the motherfucker's sitting next to you jacking off, and it's like, see, y'all really gonna make me the asshole for being like this guy's jacking off next to me? That's how it feels.
Right. And maybe Keith's doing something behind the scenes he's not saying. No, here's the show and we happen to be able to talk to her right now. Okay, now you get to listen to her.
Right. Yeah. For yourself.
But don't give me a fifth message of that I shouldn't have done it, because that only encourages it, quite frankly. I am a baby. Speaking of the new logo. And you're obviously into engagement about it.
Right. That's how you get the Keith and Sadia spinoff show, is you just keep pushing it.
Right.
Is this going to be the new show? What's the new show now?
The logo's Sadia's face. She came into the chat room, by the way, on Wednesdays.
Oh.
I think the word is fantastic.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
And then wrote a poem about how all the guys were good, but the women are the assholes. Meanwhile, it was the guys that were telling her to fuck off. That's interesting, too. But, you know,
who can explain love,
you know?
I hate to be critical, but
sure.
She also had a point in the poem where she rhymed the same word with the same word. And I didn't like that.
Eminem's done that.
I'm not a fan of it. Right. I don't like when Eminem does it. I think it's a cop out. Got to rhyme it with a different word. Like, what are we doing here, guys?
Right. I can do that. Be creative.
Yeah.
But what if I missed the word love the first time? I'll catch it the second time.
And then Bianca went all last week on Keith and the Girl trying to hone in on territory. I guess it's just like her instincts to start interrogating Keith about his feelings live on the air and like try to get the scoop before we can get to the scoop. What was up with that?
Well, I got to tell you, and I know we talked about this later. I think it was on Mallory's show. But the last show and I've seen some people on the forum say this, like, why didn't you guys, you know, so Catherine brought up, yes, I listened to the last show with Hemda, you know, both of you were on it. And there was news and not really feelings. I'm like, there couldn't have been more fucking feelings that were shared. Chris fucking wrote a letter, went through that, was ready to ball his dick off. I explained and read the dedication in the Dead Emails book. That's the Hemda. I don't know what you would have done. And then somebody wrote to them and said, what would you have done? And that was the end of the conversation, saying we didn't get into feelings. So I'm thinking, is like, well, you're just sad it's over, so it wasn't done right. What would you have done? It's an hour long. There's not an hour's worth of feelings for anything that bore the shit out of me. An hour of fucking feelings? What? And then, when Kat or Bianca on that specific show that they were both on said, like, well, you're not dealing with your feelings. I'm like, then maybe I don't have more, but it really is only nervousness and excitement. It's not, right. I'm not thrilled. I'm not angry. Okay, here we are. Yeah, now it's over a week, and I'm more confident that, of course, I can do this. I have done it for 2 decades, but that's it. That's all the feelings.
Yeah, and also, like, back to some of the things that Roderick said, you had an extended period of time to process this prior to it. So just like anything else, people do this when it comes to their favorite TV shows ending. No matter what the TV show is, everybody gets upset when they announce this is our last and final season.
Right.
So no matter what the last episode is, people get upset that it stunk, it wasn't the best, or whatever it may be, because they're just sad that the thing that they've enjoyed so much would never be the same. And I think because they feel that sadness, they want to project on you like you should feel that sadness also.
And by that, it becomes anger from that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's correct. That's my top five hottest take ever. One of my top fives is it's not that shows end badly as much as people are just sad that they're ending and then they get mad. Mm-hmm. And so almost all shows end bad when you ask people, because it's like, it fucking ended. Like, fuck this shit. But
you want to say about the Saudi show, sure. Okay, you can't deal with things. That's fine. But that last show with Hemda, that could not have gone better.
Yeah.
I loved it. Mm-hmm.
I think they're waiting on you to cry.
Yes.
I think they need you to like go on the air and like break down or something. And they'll be like, okay, guys, he finally acknowledged what's happening. But I feel like then, are you a Keith and a girlfriend? It's been 20 years. Why would you?
I like his no-nonsense approach to understanding things that are facts. But that day you could have cried like a bitch.
Yeah. Like, he's not, you're not going to pretend, and you're not, and you're more than likely not going to break down on the air. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's sad, but it's also like, she did us such a great service of letting us fucking know. So I think if she like showed up on a Monday and was like, I won't be here tomorrow. Okay. Now that's
different.
We got us a little something.
Right. Okay, you're still processing it. Yes.
Tune in for Tuesday's show because it's going to be crazy.
I don't know how to break this to you. I knew before you guys knew. Right. I knew before the audience knew. And I have said, of course, there's the moment when I'm told, obviously. There's the moment that we make a video to explain it. There's a moment when the video goes out. There's a moment of the first chat room after the video went out. Every so often there's moments, and now it's 4 months later, and I think that show had emotion.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But is the process of finding a show title much easier now?
Oh my God, it's so easy. It's so easy.
There's no back and forth.
There's no back and forth. Is yours more clever? It's like, this is good enough and done.
And do these episodes feel like auditions for new hosts in your mind, or do you think the audience is feeling that?
The audience is adding that. And we've said this before too, like, how isn't it, I guess, an audition? But no, I'm not thinking about it that way. But I did happen to have the greatest co-hosts recently.
Right.
But that's it. Yeah, so no, there's no hurry, and we'll see what happens. Maybe there never is one. I really don't know yet, but there's no hurry.
You're just filling it out.
Yeah.
All right, I'll feel you on that.
Yeah, in fact, today, Lucy Pohl was going to be the guest. We know she's always easy and great. Couldn't make it last minute. should be recording on Wednesday, but we'll see. What's my point?
She lost the audition.
She lost. She blew. She got to show up on time. But now I'm just doing fun shit, so I'm going to put out the stand-up album Good, Clean, Fun today instead.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's
so nice. I don't got to run it by nobody.
Every time somebody doesn't show up, we get some free shit, guys. Right. Think about that.
Think about that, right?
It's the new Keith and the girl. Hendel would have been like, stop giving away shit for free.
She'd have been like, me and you record the date in.
Right. Hendel calls me like, hey, I'm back. What the fuck are you doing?
I keep looking in my RSS feed saying, are you meaning to give us free shit? You're putting free shit in this thing. What was the poll?
The poll for Bianca Brady and Catherine Lavery was, will Kate Middleton divorce Prince William? Apparently, this was capturing the mind of everybody. We found out, later at the end of the week that supposedly, who knows, Kate Middleton has cancer, was getting already getting some kind of, what's that treatment cancer people get?
Chemotherapy.
Chemo. And so, you know, she wasn't in a mood to show up publicly so fast. But who knows? The whole family's weird, so I don't know what's 100% or not. Will Kate Middleton divorce Prince William? Open-ended. 44% said yes.
Yeah, I think she will, too.
Yeah. I got to say, also, like...
even though he's about to be king, like, isn't that the fucking creme de la creme?
And she's like, nah, I'm good. Listen, I got to say, Meghan Markle, Harry, y'all were right. I'm sorry.
They
yes,
fucked,
they were.
And they got into Kate's head. Like, hey, maybe this isn't a fun life.
They played the game to win, and they fucking, they're in Canada right now, chilling, and they fucking figured it out. Got the fuck out of there, and they took the slings and arrows. Man, they are such better people. They put out a nice statement. I would be like, how you like it, bitch?
Right.
Uh-oh, when it was me, and they had all the fucking rumors, you ain't say shit. You was cool. Now they think you getting cheated on, break babies popping up, you faking cancer. It's not so nice, is it? Oh.
Harry's the one with the actress, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's the other one?
Charles, right? Charles is the king. William.
Okay. So Harry, the one that's with the actress, I bet like right now they're eating soup and taking the spoon in the soup and putting it towards them. And they're like, how free.
Yes. Yes.
This is how you eat soup. You bring it to your fucking mouth.
They're flinging soup on each other.
Yeah.
they're going to fuck.
They're breaking like out of loose soup.
Buckets in their heads.
They're fucking having a time, man.
They don't even put them napkins out anymore. They don't use the cutlery right. They like, fuck this bullshit.
They're blowing their nose in shirts.
Yes! They was like, we don't got to do this bullshit more.
They're drinking the soup out the bowl, slurping it.
Yes, they are. Dipping bread in the soup and shit.
Chip, chip. They're making fake. He has a real English accent, but they're still doing fake English accents. Like, chip, chip, cheerio.
He goes, honey, it's the monthly time to weigh you. Just kidding. Eat my ass.
Oh, I think a horse just farted. Oh, man. They lucked out. God.
Yeah.
Like, there were body doubles. There were there were Photoshop pictures. What the fuck is happening?
That's what Harry and Meghan should do. They should put out, like, best of luck, and make the heart sign on their chest. But there's 8 fingers on one hand.
Yeah. And fuck it up on purpose.
Yeah,
man. If they were pettier people, God, this is the time to talk that shit.
Yes, it is.
Just right, JK, JK, best of luck.
Yeah. No, but it's for real, though. Cancer serious and everything. Really
P.S. Pip.
Yeah. Back to flinging soup. Episode 37.
There's more soup on the wall than at the fucking White House when Trump was in charge. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're having it, but in this way, it's fun.
Yeah.
You're not scared.
They are having a blast. Them and the babies is tearing shit up.
Right. Oh, man.
They even got the kids in the mix.
If you would have told me like 2 years later there would be a crazier story than Meghan and Harry, I would have said impossible.
Right.
Remember, they like went to Tyler Perry's house at one point. Like, that was a crazy story.
Yes, it was.
I don't know shit about the Royals, but I know some Tyler Perry's black royalty. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yes, and now the king got cancer and she got cancer and they don't know what to do. And I think William is the one they were saying that was over there with that island man with them kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I think that's Charles that was on Pedophile Island with Epstein.
Oh, the daddy?
I think it was.
Oh, no. That was Prince William. No, sorry.
Oh, it was?
Prince Andrew.
Okay, that's a different one.
I knew he was
okay.
older, my bad.
Okay, I remember
and
it was
one
of them.
We don't keep up with mm-hmm. the boys. Yeah, yeah. Well,
I like that someone's like, no, please know that.
Yeah. This is why I was on
this
team.
This is American speaking.
Yeah. This is why I was on team Meghan Markle, because mm-hmm. I don't know these motherfuckers either. Mm-mm.
Well, with the same passion of Saudia giving them the ick is going to be like, do you even know who was on Pedo Island?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry, I don't know any of this shit, guys. I didn't watch The Crown.
Me either.
I bet that's all y'all did is watch The Crown, and you act like you're fucking better than me, like I can't watch TV. You're not better than me. Why do you know this shit? You shouldn't know it. We don't even live there. It affects us none. These motherfuckers don't own dragons. They don't have powers. There's no fucking magical witches. Yeah. Why are y'all even caring about these rich white people?
I want to see these knights go into battle. Sean Connery, we got to call you up. Is he still around?
Yeah. Hey, Sting, I got to call in a favor. they asking too many questions about my girl. I'm going to need you to do something.
Handle this for me.
They show up. He's down great with that. You know, the fucking Hugh, whoever the fuck. They got these guys, like, just show these real actors in a skit where they're all, like, figuring out armor for the first time. Like, they're just walking around. Like, really, just put real armor on them and record it. And they're like, do we really have to do this? One grabs a sword.
They're all sitting at a round table, like King Arthur and shit.
But they're talking about the craft of acting and music.
It's just like a huge distraction from the tabloid shit. It's just like, guys, look over here. We got fucking Sean Connery here. Sting.
Somebody hands Sting a mandolin, and he's like, what is this bullshit? It's like, well, can you play it? Well, I happen to be able to play it, but.
Yes. I'm a professional now.
44% think Kate Middleton will divorce.
Oh, yeah. I think that's... at that point in time, I was 100% on that side. Yeah. So, episode 3799, Quiet on the Set with Mallory Jane.
Quiet on set. It's like one of those riddles where you see it and you make up what's there. Interesting.
Am I messing with you over here? I didn't say a word.
I didn't mess up the names.
Right.
So, no.
Not yet.
Were they an asshole?
No. Mallory Jane's simply fantastic. Met him in the chat room that we do every Wednesday. They were nice enough to work on art. We became friends, and they're fantastic.
Yeah, kind of an open book.
Yes, very mm-hmm. much.
You know, which is, you know, you see these open books, you gotta make note, you right? Because it's not a lot of fake open books.
There seems like a lot of pamphlets out there. Yeah, and they're calling themselves books.
Yeah.
And they're only two pages, but you're like, what am I supposed to do with two pages?
And this felt more like an introductory, like almost like an interview than like a just a straight up, we're going to get to the news and the topics of the day. Not that you didn't talk about any, but it felt like I really got to know Mallory Jane coming out of this.
Yeah. And someone was telling me like, oh, I saw it was a shorter show. And they're like, oh, no, or will I be bummed? It's like, that's a dense fucking show. And mm-hmm. it might have been weird if I talked about a beating at a Dunkin' Donuts. Mallory was open. Mallory was deep. We're talking about abuse. We're talking about family. We're talking about suicide. We're talking about gender questioning. We discuss how life's beautiful and life sucks. They were great, and I liked it very much.
I haven't seen Quiet on Set.
But I've heard about it.
Yeah, but I've only heard... and seeing like the tweets shared about it.
Right.
And seemed like Nickelodeon, they was fucking some kids up.
Never mind
the stuff.
I was going to say never mind, but yes, mind. But there's the sex stuff, and this is sexual also. But I guess the dude has a foot fetish. The Nickelodeon symbol was a fucking foot.
Oh.
You know, it was. Like, because a lot of this was when I was a smaller child, too, kind of. You know, teenager into adulthood, like I've always liked Nickelodeon, and so a lot of the height of this was when I was kind of into it the most. And so yes, it was that one period of time it was a foot.
I just think about it's two things. One, it's kind of like Usual Suspects, the ending when Kevin Spacey start, you look around the room, you realize Kevin Spacey, like this shit was here the whole time. because it's like, yeah, they used to slime people, and that was like cum on the face. I'm like, wait, fuck, that was?
Of course.
And then, of course, in hindsight, you're like, yeah, why the fuck would you do something, you know?
Right.
Yes.
But then the second thing is, because, you know, they're pieces of shit, the dudes can't even come out and be like, okay, guys, we didn't make the foot decision. Right. All right, that was another guy. He wanted to do the foot. They ain't had nothing to do with me. Do I like children's feet? Yes. Okay, am I sexually into them? Of course. But that was serendipity. All right.
And you would think I would see this because for whatever reason, I'm attracted to these stories where people, you know, especially famous people, powerful people, love them getting busted. I never really watched Nickelodeon. I didn't watch Nickelodeon. Either too old or too young that we never had cable. But anyway, I know the name Amanda Bynes. I understand she's a mess now. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. So I think this would just piss me off because they would give the information so slowly. But what also bothers me that I saw a little bit online, there's some kid that was abused on the show doing an interview with the main guy and giving him softball questions. And the main guy, who's apparently just living just fine now because he's not in jail, is saying, yes, nobody should be upset for any reason in a Raiders room. I'm like, oh, that I don't even want to see the rest of this fucking interview. If that's the highlight you put out, fuck out of here.
I forget. It was one of the shows on Nickelodeon. I want to say it was Amanda Bynes, but it might not. Wrote a book called I'm Glad My Mom's Dead. I forgot her name.
Oh, I don't know.
Somebody else, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And she talked about the things that happened to her while at Nickelodeon. Mm. And she said the reason why she talked is because they tried to get her to sign like an NDA and she refused to sign it. Mm. And so her refusing to sign it means she could openly talk about it in her book.
Oh, man. Good. Crazy. I guess just don't trust anybody that want to work with kids.
It is strange. It is strange.
You got to get reluctant people. Yep. You got to make people. Find some people that don't want to do it. Put them in charge.
I'd rather you, if you're going to do the women's gymnastics team, I don't want you to be a reputable doctor that wants to deal with these kids.
Right.
I want you to be in prison for beating up somebody at a Wendy's and your community service is working with kids.
Yes. Yeah. I want you to not want to show up.
be mad at you that whole time.
Like, I got a fucking, what are you doing this weekend? Fuck, man, I gotta do USA gymnastics fucking girls inspections all goddamn week.
Be a teacher if you want, but you have 30 witnesses in a room at least. Don't do a job where you get one-on-one for what?
Yeah, I want a doctor for the women's gymnastics team that's like talking to the nurse like, well, you want to do this one?
Right. Anybody? Like, why you always have the one doctor that's always on time? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Dude, that be like regular doctors that come in at the very end and are like, the nurse did everything and you all right? Cool. All right. See you next time.
That's exactly what they do.
Write the check to me.
Right. I'm telling you what's wrong. You're walking out the door. No, you're the doctor that listens with a hand on the knee. Fuck off.
Yeah. I'm also glad that the show isn't just Keith talking about him to leave it.
Agreed.
I'm glad that we're talking about news. I'm glad we have other people on. I'm glad that it's what's happening today. That's part of why I listened to the show in the first fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there's a shelf life on that shit. That's where TJ Holmes and Amy Robach messed up with their podcast.
Yes, they won't grow past that moment.
It's been like 6 months and y'all are still talking about that fucking affair that's not an affair.
These are the people from Good Morning America or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're also lying about the affair. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You started the fucking podcast. We're now 6 months deep into your relationship. I'd rather you talked about the news.
It would be more entertaining.
Why not just start every episode with like some bullshit happened today, guys? It's TJ and Amy. So I think there's only so much you can mine on that shit anyway without it just being a fucking bummer. So doing good.
Thank you.
And then the other story that I have to bring up is Carnival Cruise guy, the employee recording customers.
Yes.
Being naked and stuff. I'm a huge.
To be clear, this is in their staterooms. These are in your rooms, and we see you in the bathroom.
Naked. Sometimes even under the bed.
Yes, he hid under the bed.
That's right. You did say it was. I was like, how are you unnipped your bed? What are you going on your break time?
The audacity. Because I can't even imagine the under the bed shit because you were in there as long as they in there.
Right. You have to be.
Like, right. You what? Lay on the bed and you look through that little pamphlet and you're like, right. What's the next bullshit thing? Well, not for an hour and a half. Is there a wiping the silverware class?
Right.
All right, let's watch the TV and make fun of that.
No work was getting done because I know everybody was like, "What the fuck is he?"
And it's not like every couple or person that goes there is just constantly fucking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some people are there like part of their vacation is like, man, I don't lay on the bed, be drunk, and don't do shit.
Right. Yeah.
You get stuck on that. Now your boss is like, "Where the fuck are you for second shift?"
Yes, your whole shift, you gone.
Insane.
Does he have a lot of fun stories? Like, you'd be surprised how many people sneak in vodka as if it's just water in their suitcase.
Right.
I know.
I saw one lady, she forgot to bring her sandals. Had to wear high heels the whole weekend. It was crazy.
Can you believe it?
Crazy.
I wanted to go, no, don't buy the sandals inside the boat. Wait till you get off. It's easily half off at the first port.
But I couldn't say anything.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not jacking off to the sexiness of it. I just jack off to just seeing people be people.
My biggest regret is that I let this woman buy $60 sandals that cut her toes.
I turned myself in, honestly, to the police at that point.
I couldn't take it no more.
But, man, it's why I don't trust shit, man. Like, I stay at hotels if I can instead of Airbnb. Only one I stayed in was when I was in New York and I really didn't have a choice.
Right.
And even then, I'm just like, let's just get this over with. Let's just jack off right away. So you got me on tape, got the footage. You go blackmail me. Let's just fucking start, rip the Band-Aid off. Let's not go through all this. What was the poll?
The poll was based on Mallory saying how the family knows she was abused. They don't really want to talk about it. Do you and your family have an open secret in that regard? 43% yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I believe it.
I believe it. I hit no. I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know.
I don't let anything be secret. I read books.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it would be a secret because my family wouldn't tell me if it was that fucked up, I think.
Right.
I feel like they would be like, we know we can't tell him because he's not going to be okay with it.
Right. He's not going to handle it.
He's not going to be willing to show up and be like, well, it's all right. Sometimes you touch kids, right? Pass me that collard greens. Like, no, I never want to see you again.
Well, that's right. In your regard, that's why the answer is no, of course. I guess an open secret is you know, but you don't want to talk about it so that things are just calmish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got like one aunt that secretly was a Republican for a long time, and I only found out, and it's only secret for me, not secret from everybody.
Right,
secret
right.
For me.
I only found out like when Trump got in office, it's like, oh, you know, she'd be voting Republican. I was like, no, I don't know that.
Like, what?
Yeah. Why the fuck? What?
Why am I just not learning this?
That's
Does she not know
bullshit.
The rest of us?
That's not an open secret. That's just bullshit.
Yeah. Episode 3800.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Big
380
number.
All too well. Oh wait, all too well with Liz Mealy.
Correct.
Or as my friend Randolph Terrace is a comedian in DC who knows Liz. He calls her sweet, sweet Liz because she's such a sweet person and all that stuff. But was she an asshole?
I don't know that I'd ever describe her as sweet. But yes, she's very nice and kind. And no, of course, she's a professional and was fantastic. And then right away talking about like the ins and outs of, are you nervous about, like Liz earned it, but is very proud of her career. And in her stand-up, she even mentions, sometimes it doesn't go anywhere. And she mentions the different countries she goes to and performs at. My point is that when she's open and honest about nervousness about putting things online to strangers and that kind of thing, it's almost refreshing. And yes, she's another open book, and it was very fun.
Yeah, I find that the people who are really good at online content definitely can relate to all the negatives of it.
Right.
Yes, yes. And also just listening to a lot of them and talking to some of them, a lot of them are like, just put it out there and go fuck it. Because they was like, because once you put it out there, that's half the battle. It was like, it's not going to be perfect. It's not because the thing about perfection, it will just prevent you from doing anything.
Yeah, that's definitely where they all get to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they're just fuck it. Like,
yes, yeah. No, but that's what most of them say.
They didn't have an answer like, no, you want to double check it. And then that's how you make sure the video is always right. They're like, no, it's not reasonable where you're putting it. Right. And so you're going to get a lot of not reasonable responses.
Agreed.
So you might as well put it out there. And if it's not perfect, fine. I do think Keith is a perfectionist. You know, I feel like, you know, sound, you know, yes. That kind of stuff, the quality, you know, if it's a delay, he's like, hey, we shut this shit down.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. like he's very, so I can imagine trying to put out clips and stuff, feeling like this isn't going to be perfect. I need it to be perfect for the internet because it's going out to everyone.
Even the new logo with the baby goes into the kid, goes into adolescence, and then it's me all being the same person. I'm like, at first, it's a square for you know, iTunes and all this, for everything. And at first, it's on the bottom. Then it's an inch higher. Then it's half an inch higher. Then it's like, who gives a fuck? But yes, you have to care. Then who gives a fuck? So it is there is a line I'm trying to find.
Yeah, and also I think for me, it's so many different social media platforms, and each one requires a different part of your brain. People don't understand that. You could be real good at TikTok, terrible at YouTube, great at YouTube, terrible
Truth Social,
at Twitter.
You got to be more racist. Like, everything's just a little different.
Just a little bit different, right. You know. Got to be a little spicy with your racism, you know. Right. So if you don't have the words for it, you might not do too well.
It's just repurposing the same clip, but
it's a clip of Trump talking, and then Biden talks, and then vice versa, and then it says fuck Trump. Then I make a new version. It says fuck Biden, and I see what does better. That's called AB.
Yes, that's how you do it.
Yeah,
I struggle with procrastination when it comes to doing my taxes. I just want to be perfect, you know.
Right.
I just want it's like when they get these taxes at the IRS, I want them to be like, I want them to stop and turn to the next person in the other cubicle, like, hey, this how you do taxes, okay?
I feel like I pay so, and we all do, but I feel like I pay so much in taxes that I have another guy do it, and he's like, all right, you owe me $3,000 for that. I'm like, I don't see why not.
Yeah,
I'm paying everybody. Why not?
Honest to God, dude, sometimes they'll send me an IRS follow-up, and it could be, you know, they're late with everything. So
yes, they are.
We got to be on time anyway. But they'll send some shit in 2024 for, like, the 2022 taxes, and they're like, yeah, so we did some calculations. You still owe us another, like, $100. Yeah.
So meanwhile, you had the whole fucking answer the whole time.
Right. And you know what I do? Pay the $100 every time.
Of course.
It doesn't matter what the number is. They could be fucking me, literally. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't want to be Wesley Snipes.
Right.
Take the fucking shit. What am I going to do,
right.
Government? They're like, and they're always like, if you want to dispute it, you can give us a call. I don't think so.
First of all, if you want to be on our shit list, give us a call.
Right.
And then we'll work out this $100.
When you call the number, they pick up and they're like, IRS audit, can I help you?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You called the audit. You're on the primary direct audit line. You're talking to Mr. IRS. Okay. What's the problem? You don't want to pay $20? Oh, that's it. You good? All right. Bye.
It's Irwin W. Scheister, whatever that WWE wrestler was. That's who picks up. Oh, sorry, wrong number.
And you know, you get half a percent of interest every day, so you don't pay. It'll fuck around and be $3,000 off of a $100 bill. Right.
President of audits? Yeah, no thanks.
You are definitely being recorded. What is your name? Oh, no, sorry. I thought I was calling a 1-800-PORN. Fuck
they
me.
Pick up the phone and tell you your name.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, Keith.
President of audits, Roderick Marr, how can I help you? Is this about the $300 or do you have it?
By the way, your water's ready in the kitchen. What?
Yeah.
You turn around. It's like you're just whistling over there. You're like, daddy.
Well, if you don't have it, how did you buy that new PlayStation?
Right.
What? We see your wife just bought a new DLC on her Switch.
Right.
Man.
a new $30 game.
That's 10% of 300 right there.
Right. What is
what's the whole?
You're wasting. You're wasting money and time.
Kate Middleton has cancer now.
Yes.
Are you happy, everyone? You did it.
Who was? Is Blake Lively? I just read. Felt she had to get. She goes. Hey, I know who gives a shit. I'm paraphrasing. But she says, I know who gives a shit, but I feel bad that I made fun of the photoshopping. Anyway, sorry. Peace and love, peace and love. Even that's weird. All right, who gives a shit? It's funny, the Photoshop thing. You didn't wish cancer, but people do write weird shit online, and you let it affect you, Blake Lively. Yeah. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
I fuck with Blake and, what's her husband? Ryan Reynolds. I fuck with them.
Yes.
I have to. I feel like I have to now, because they had a plantation wedding. And then, like, they caught flack about it for fucking years. And then, like, a year or two ago, they just issued, like a nice apology about it. And I, even me, as a Black person, was like, I would have been like, man, fuck y'all. Like, what the fuck, y'all? You can't get unmarried. It's right. Like, we fucking did that thing. Obviously, we weren't thinking the way you think we think about it. And like, we fuck, but they really, like, they didn't do it immediately, which means they read the comments, as Keith said, and we're just like, fuck it, man, we need to apologize. So I guess she's a good egg for that. But I personally wouldn't apologize, because it's not like first of all, even if I wish cancer on people, I don't got good powers. It's not working.
Right.
These motherfuckers are getting old, okay?
And now that you know I have these powers, tell me who to root for.
Yes, you know?
And careful, by the way, you just told me your name. I have these powers.
Like, Pat Robertson wasn't on nobody's list?
Right.
Apparently not.
All this time? Yeah. Come on, guys. Y'all don't got the powers. Did you get jury duty?
So I called Friday. That's when I was supposed to call. Called right away. They go by numbers, and my number just didn't make it. Today I called, the following Monday, just now, and my draft number did get picked, and I show up 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, y'all.
So I don't know that I'm picked, of course, but I show up at 9. I'm being told by people in the know, meaning lawyers and lawyer types, don't say you're a podcaster. You could maybe say you're a comedian. But then I'm thinking of somebody specifically that said, but then at the same time, we Google everybody. So you won't be picked, Keith.
Oh, damn. That's crazy. We'll see. Through Google then.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe they don't Google you till you get there or something.
Right.
They Google Keith is like, hell no.
I guess if it gets
this guy believes in one strike, you're dead.
So no. But I think 50% would pick me then.
Yeah,
Lawyers.
The prosecutors are like, definitely want to keep juror number 7.
And it's 100%. Not my place to say, but thank you, foreman. I didn't say
it. They shake his hand like they already won the case. Like, right. Congratulations.
This guy is influential. He knows how to talk to people and smartest man we know.
It's different up there, Keith. We only call once down here.
Okay.
You say you call twice. Because I'm scheduled to call Wednesday. And so you have like this thing. It was like they got two groups. They got an AM group and a PM group. And so depend on what time you quote unquote scheduled, you call. And if you select it, you go in. And if not, they just tell you don't worry about it until next time.
Okay.
They have more people up there now.
Oh, well, that's I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And then a lot of people cases, probably, even though they got the summons after they filled something out, they probably don't even bother calling. So that's why you have to give, I guess, a couple groups of numbers. Well, today was my group. Yeah.
He did get jury duty. And the last thing I wrote for this episode is dating just sounds like a to-do.
It does. I tell people I'm not made for this version of dating. I think I'll be by myself.
What does it say about being with people that people still date? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody
taking a chance.
People need people, yes.
Right. That's how horrible being alone is.
Yeah. Like, what does it say about being alone and being with a person that you don't want to be with, that you'll go through the gambit of the, like, gauntlet of dating again? Because everyone's just got these fucking horror stories. It's just this, that, and this happened. And it's like, that's how bad other people are.
Yeah.
And how bad being alone is.
And of course, I'm nation, but just to speed this up, picture being a woman. And you're like, I might get killed, but
right,
I'm going to be alone? I think this date might be worth a total stranger.
It's
now, let me get into a car with a stranger, and they might have candy in the backseat for me, and then I will meet somebody, a total stranger, at a bar at night that's dimly lit.
Yeah, it is something else, and I'm not gonna lie, Roger has spoiled me, and he has set very, very super high standards, so I won't take anything, nor would I accept anything less than the best. So I'm like, hey, dog, like, I'm okay. If I need dick, I go buy one, if that's all I need.
Hello. And you know, I happen to be married. Anyways, long story short.
You know, like, you know, if something was to happen, I would know. Because I'm like, I'm just afraid of the horror stories that I hear. I'm like, this doesn't sound fun. This doesn't sound enjoyable or any of that.
I'm glad this came up because, you know, I do treat Karen the best. But what do you think about this scenario?
You got together at 16?
I had a colonoscopy.
Okay.
Last week, because I'm 45 and they recommend you get it at 45.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why? And I'd rather get it and not have anything than not get it and be like, fuck, I'm dead, you know?
Right.
So I scheduled it, blah, blah, blah. Friday, we go up there. I go in the operation.
Uh-huh.
It's only 30-minute operation. Okay. Karen came back.
You say operation. Is it just a finger or a camera?
It's a camera or something.
Yeah, it's like procedures.
Whatever you want.
It's in my ass, it's an operation.
Yeah, I consider it operation because they can like take shit out of your polyps and shit out of your body to test them.
Okay.
So like that's an operation to me.
Sure.
So these motherfuckers do the thing. It takes like 25 minutes. Then I'm back out and it's time for them to get your ride or whatever, you know, the person that comes with you because they won't let you come along
because
you're under whatever and you can't drive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Couldn't find Karen for 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What's going on, Keith?
Hello.
She said I treat her the best. I cook for her every day.
She didn't say she treats you the best. She said
That's fact.
You can't date yourself. So that worked out.
Keith, okay. Let me tell my side of the story, okay? Okay. We've been up for hours. I was hungry. So what I did
if you were hungry.
They would have needed to know if I was allergic to penicillin. We can get to that later.
I went to go get breakfast. And then I got lost. Wandered into a waiting room. It wasn't my waiting room. I was one floor up, too high. So I had to figure out how to get back where the fuck I was supposed to be. And so that's why they were looking for me. I got lost.
They found you?
The people at one weight room, because I was like, yeah, my husband's having this procedure. And I told him the procedure. They was like, oh, yeah, baby, you one floor down. And so she walked me to where I was supposed to go. And I sat there within like 3 minutes. At least you were able to sit down.
Poor Rod couldn't. He's just standing in a corner in pain.
Mm-hmm. Coming out of sedation, wondering, I wonder whose person didn't show up because... They were like, we can't find them. We got a location on the wife. We can't find them right now. They don't know. We called the room and the waiting room says she's not in there. And I'm like, someone's going to be so embarrassed that they got to here and no one gave a fuck about them. That is crazy. And it was Karen.
It wasn't on purpose. I promise.
You know what also happened? A nurse said to Rod, like, honestly, just say she's outside and get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Like it became very embarrassing to everybody.
They're like, you sure you know that you won't catch a ride with another patient or something? Maybe they'll drive you home. I hate to see loneliness as such a sad thing.
We don't really follow anybody. Purpose. Just get the fuck out. You signed everything already. Who cares?
I'm like, but see, that's the thing. They won't let you in there by yourself. So they knew I had a person to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They were just like, where the fuck's their person? I was like, I don't know. This is embarrassing. When Karen was in the hospital, where was I? In the fucking waiting room. Like I was supposed to be.
But on the way out, nurses are like handing Rod their phone numbers. Like, this will be over soon.
I heard you cook every day. Is that facts? What was the poll?
The poll was... Are you a victim of perfection paralysis? I did hit yes. 55% say yes.
That's pretty high.
Interesting. Yeah.
Shout out to that video you talked about with the like clap your hands thing. Cause I've been seeing memes like that too. And I'm oh shit. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
I guess for me, it kind of depends on what it is. But a lot of times I'm like, it's done type of thing.
Sure, sure.
Well, I mean, you'll say people's names wrong constantly, so you don't give a fuck.
I put it out there to them.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about the same type of thing.
No, we're not. We are not.
The only thing I was very proactive about and never procrastinated on was when I worked on Game Theory.
Sure.
And that made me the exception in the writer's room.
Oh, that's funny.
I would get my shit done.
They would be shocked.
They're like, oh, man, I need like 2 more hours to work on this. I'm like, listen, it's a process. Right. We turn the shit on Tuesday. Then they got to do their job.
Right.
They got to tell me what to write.
The quicker you get it in there, the more time you get them to look over it.
You're going to get it perfect on Monday and it's fucking the whole process up. Because you're just waiting till it's later and fucking later and later. And then what do they tell you when you turn it in?
Redo it anyway.
We got to change some shit. Right. So just let them change it. Yeah. Q&A 146. Yes. Cool story, bro.
Yes. He gets a little nervous. He thinks he rambles. He doesn't, I think. And right? He's like, and then I fucked this guy. All right, that was it. Cool story, bro. Moving on.
Right. He's nagging himself.
Yeah.
Come on. I know I understand it's season 2, but you know, I stayed all the way through season 1. You know, why change the formula?
Right.
But I didn't think how much more talking he has to do now that Hemda isn't here. You know, he doesn't necessarily do marathons for hour after hour. So when he does insist on his show being 3 fucking hours, I thought he was having a stroke. I'm like, are you dying?
Yeah.
Halfway through... I said, you know what? I have to use the bathroom anyway. Let's pause and maybe drink some water for the hiccups. And he's like, I don't have hiccups. I'm like, I think you're dying.
Yeah. But it was really a self-fulfilling prophecy because during that part of the show when you noticed it and you brought it up.
I noticed it before, but yeah.
Yeah, well, when you brought it up to him.
Yeah.
It appeared that he started kind of like stammering even more.
Right.
And then you were watching even more. You know what I'm saying? Because like, it's not like you're like saving him with it. Like, oh yeah. So clearly you have some issues. You're like, it's right. Like, oh no, this is still happening. It's getting worse. What?
Right.
Are you okay?
Now I have to assume the audience is wondering if you're dying. So I have to be the audience.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I mean, listen, only a real friend would care. You know?
Right. I can't have you down on the recording.
Right. I'll look like an asshole. They thought they were upset with Sadia.
Right. You know, he killed news.
Right. Live on the air. Right.
I enjoyed The Gentleman as well on Netflix.
I remember you watching that.
I think it's because I just like Guy Ritchie's style. I don't know that his movies are necessarily good, but there's always like a bunch of sleek writing on the screen when you get to a location. And it's all this. And then all the fucking Cockney accents. I don't know how gangsters do it over there. But apparently,
how did they understand each other?
Maybe that's why there's so many misunderstandings in these stories. But
they keep fucking up the mission because nobody knows what's happening. That Brad Pitt movie, Snatch, people seem to love it. I don't know what anyone was saying without exaggeration.
Yes. I was going off vibes.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, I think they want to rob something. I don't know. And this guy, oh, he loves boxing. This is like Snatch, but it's 8 episodes. He had boxing and Snatch, and he's explaining taking a dive. I'm like, you just copied and pasted from Snatch and stole an episode of Netflix money because we saw this one already. But all that being said, I think I like that in Guy Ritchie's world, all the gangsters always let each other finish their sentences.
Get the complete thoughts out.
These motherfuckers are so polite. It's like you can show up with a gun to somebody and they're going to have a conversation with you. It's never going to just be like, yeah, and then I shot that guy because I got the drop on him. It's always like, oh, so them's the apples, eh? It's like, what? Shoot this motherfucker. he killed your brother. And they're just like, nope, it's time to have a sit down. But I did enjoy it.
It also, I haven't seen the movie. So there's a movie and now it's a TV show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I didn't know it was a movie.
Yeah,
so he stretched it out.
Matthew McConaughey and a couple of people that kind of look... Hugh Grant is in it.
Okay, that's actually a good casting.
Yeah, it looks like some good people. That I would watch.
Wonder if McConaughey tried to do one of the Maxes, though. Because I want to see his Texas draw try to do some cocky.
Yeah.
Why or how you like them apples. It's like, no, this ain't gonna work. And I love being the cool couple at restaurants, which, you know, Newsy brought up that, that cool corny couple at the restaurant. If a waiter ever thanks you or whatever, just know that they really mean it and don't like downplay it or whatever, because, as a waiter, I do know what he means. Cause if I had a cool couple, I would never tell him. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean like, I'm gonna make a thing of this. Just give me the money. Y'all, you know, I'm glad y'all are cool. So for someone to have it in their heart to be like, let me tell you, you guys are fucking aces. Mm-hmm. Clearly you are aces people. And when people tell me that, I know what that means. They like Karen.
Yes. Most of the time, that is what that means. And the thing is, Keith, I didn't realize how shitty people were when we came out of the pandemic. Because when me and Roderick had initially started kind of eating out a little bit after the pandemic, just about every single restaurant we went to, they was giving us free stuff. They was telling us how patient we was. They was like, y'all,
we got a free meal this weekend.
We did. We got a free meal this weekend.
They fucked up. They told Karen they had quiche, and I guess they were out
of it. Mm-hmm.
And then it sounded like maybe they were waiting on the quiche in the back, so like they didn't want to bring my food out without hers. And then they just come out and they're like, hey, we messed up, the quiche is free, don't worry about it. They come back like, you know, and what else do you want? Whatever you want, we'll make it. And Karen wanted like double stuffed French toast, so they made it. They come back later, they're like, and your food's free, sir. Don't worry about it. It's on the house. Y'all are so nice and patient. And I'm like, what the fuck are people acting like
right
now? Because like, I wouldn't expect anything. Mm-hmm. I just like, okay, you made a mistake. Maybe a tip smaller than it normally would be.
Right.
Or something. It's not a, you know, like I'm a fucking flip over a table. But people must really be minimum raging in good restaurants.
I think they do, because I think she was nervous when she had came. She was like, oh, we don't have the quiche. And I thought about it. And I love their stuffed French toast. I mean, that's stuffed French toast, but yeah, stuffed French toast. And I was like, well, yeah, I want that with a side of bacon. She was like, okay. It was like she was just so relieved that I didn't huff and puff.
Yeah.
When was White Karen's? When did that start? Was that the pandemic?
That was during the beginning of the pandemic, okay. I think.
Well, there you go.
2020.
Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah.
They were like, listen, she's not a White Karen. I think we're going to be okay. Just ask her, will she take something else? But that used to be routine. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, we don't got that. Oh, okay, cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? They were like in a fucking movie where they got to like deactivate a bomb. You know?
Right.
we don't have a quiche. Okay, cool.
They got to call in the negotiator. Yeah. Like, where is he? He's only making it worse. No, he knows how to deal with this.
Yeah, Sam Jackson comes in. I get a call on my phone instead of like him coming to the table. Newsy, thank you. That kind of affirms something that happens to me all the time when I'm with Karen.
Sometimes I assume I'm on a date and I'm like, they're talking about us. They love us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Roger, I do think it's me because I'm talkative and I talk to the waitresses and the servers and stuff. Sometimes they'll come and they'll sit and they'll talk to us.
Well, I think, I hate that. Anyway, I think they think I'm cool. Like, I don't think anyone's ever thought I was a bad customer. I think people know, they think I'm a good customer because even when I'm by myself, I, you know, polite, well, patient. But they know not to come bother me
when he's by himself.
Well, when it's Karen, they're like, I'll fucking turn around at this table like it's the cafeteria.
They
just talk to my favorite couple. I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. Anyway,
it's always like women in
madly eating while I'm talking to them.
Then I reward them for their behavior with a big ass tip that probably makes them think I want them to do it.
I'm encouraging this behavior on our side. Shit.
And then last week with Keith and the girl, great job, Karen, as always.
Mm-hmm. True.
And Great Hang is my surprise of the week. I actually listened to Great Hang is Micah and Tim's podcast.
Yes.
The episode's called Catfishing Your Dad with Keith Malley. I think it's the latest episode on their feed.
You tell me.
What the fuck? what is happening over there?
Have you heard this show before? Their show?
No, okay. I've only heard them on Keith and the Girl.
Right, I've only heard them on Keith.
I heard you and even on Keith and the Girl. Sometimes I'm like people talk about Sadia. That's the episodes I'm like, oh, should I fast forward? Are they gonna? Oh, no, I think they're okay. They're cool. They're not fighting. Oh, they're fighting. Wait, I guess you can say that. All right, if they think it's funny, that's how I feel the whole time. And over there, without Keith and him to really like cut in and run the show,
right.
It's a free for all.
Hey, Fatso, hey, bitch. Like, that's not an exaggeration.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah. And they don't practice like yes and. They practice yes and like that. They,
the other and.
They like
the other yes and do you want some?
They go hard the whole time. And I mean, they crack each other up. They've been together. Keith, I appreciate how singularly focused you were on trying to keep that poster grudge going. Apparently they had some posters or something they were trying to promote.
Oh, yeah. Somebody they put up posters in a bar, and then another comedy group or something put posters over them. And I'm like, we have a problem, right, with these people. Let's talk about it again. And Mike is like, no, I'm over. I'm like, it doesn't sound like you are, and here's why you shouldn't be. And then she was she was off and running again. So that was fun. But it was, I hope it went okay. I really don't know. They have a setup of three chairs. I'm in the middle. They're right next to each other. We're all facing forward to the one video camera they have. They do okay. They can order, not to count anybody's money, a second fucking camera if they wanted. But so they're talking, you know, they're all about segments. We didn't talk about the Dad Emails book too much, which is fine. Right. What's the difference if I talk about it or I just say it? But anyways, but I'm turning my head left and right, and I'm like, who am I supposed to be looking at? And to be comfortable, sometimes I really do like in my chair and I'm leaning forward when it's some janky chair. And so they're talking to each other behind me, and I'm like, are they even giving eyes? I'm making up. They're giving each other eyes like this motherfucker. I don't know. It's a weird fucking setup. It's very uncomfortable. And I don't think it's a trick to play me in one way or another. But who am I looking at now? And then somebody says a joke. And, you know, comedians, you know, you got to fucking didn't give them attention. Yeah. So I got to be like, I heard what you said. And turn in my head. I heard what you said too. That was clever. You got to give eyes or a smile. I didn't know.
Meanwhile, they're shitting on each other's jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're trying to be polite, like, yeah, that was funny. And they're being like, that's not funny. Like, you're not being as funny as you could be, you fucking loser.
Then and then I ask, like, do you guys fuck? Like, how after this? And Micah goes, this is actually the best part of the day, calling each other a piece of shit. It makes me horny. I'm like, okay.
There's also something incredibly sweet about it, but I don't know how.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want. I don't even want to go on like a couple's date with a person. Like, I'm like, no, guys, you stay home. Me and Karen go out by ourselves.
I've dated women where once in a blue moon, like, let's say I broke a dish or something. I'm thinking of somebody that was like, why'd you do that? Or good job, idiot. And I'm like, this is supposed to be my safe place.
Right.
And then for them to take it 10,000 steps further, I'm like, how do you get a boner?
Are they like that? Because you were physically there. So are they like that?
It's not
all
for
the time?
Show. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I figured out that. I was like, yeah, they're like this all of the time.
Or it's because I'm around, but I don't see how.
Right.
Either they're the most secure people on the earth, right, or just the most fucked up people on the earth. Because oh my God, I could. I was ready to end it all when Karen wasn't there for me to get picked up. You know, if she would have showed up and been like, look at you, you fucking fat piece of shit or whatever, like, oh my God, kill me.
Oh, I would have never done that.
I'm surprised you didn't die or whatever. You know, like, why are you doing this to me? Why is it like going? It's like marrying your high school bully or whatever.
they brought up, tell me something about a party. How that got ruined or something. I'm like, well, I happen to remember this story where it's an engagement party. And, you know, I put out my food, cheese, candies, whatever. In the corner, hidden in a different room, was a ring pop that maybe I was going to do something fun or, you know, half sexy with a cat sometime. Mike is a snooper, somehow found it and took it. And then I'm petty holding on to this for 15 fucking years. I'm like, no, I just remembered this story. It's just interesting. Right. Anyway, on my way out, I said, I took something from your fridge.
Oh man. That being said, they're so fucking funny.
Yeah.
They are. And the show is so good. I mean, it's like that thing where like I'm just glad it's not me, but I'm glad it's them too. Right. Like I'm glad that you guys decided to put this dysfunction out here to the world because it is super entertaining. And I enjoyed all their stories. I think when Tim talked about the last time he cried was writing a joke about being an optimistic loser. And then Michael went in on him.
Yeah. He's like, I'm an optimistic loser. He says, and he's like, then I started thinking, like, honestly, though, what have I accomplished? And he started crying. She's like, you cried, you bitch.
She sad that she missed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
Right.
Oh my God, man. What a fucking, what a life. What a show. Life.
They're killing
it. But yeah, it was a really good episode and the fan sound cool and all that stuff. Yeah. So. If you're kicking yourself, wondering if you were out of it or something, you weren't.
People seem pleased in the chat room the other night. Yeah. So, okay, good.
All right, that's it for this week. Keith and the Girl. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
See you on the forums, everyone. And Sadia, Team Sadia, you know.
What?
That's who I'm putting in for best new guest.
Well, just forum. Just don't put your Instagrams on automatically accept.
I know, Keith. Listen, thing. If we vote her best new guest, Keith will have to honor the sign.
Legally.
So, just saying, putting it out there. All right, y'all. Talk to you next week.